Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only podcast made by Chicago real estate agents for Chicago real estate agents. My name is DJ Paris. I am your host through the show. And if this is your first time listening to the podcast, this episode, what we do here is we interview the very top producers in Chicago. There are currently over 35,000 realtors in the Chicagoland area. We literally are only talking to the top 1%. And what we're doing is asking them how they built their business. How did they become successful? What are they doing differently than other realtors out there, and having them share that with you. So I think we started this about 3 or 4 months ago. We already have about 30 episodes done, and about 5,000 of you are listening on a regular basis. So we're really grateful for that. A couple of ways you can continue to support the show so we can keep providing this to you in the coming year. Tell a friend. If you have any other brokers that you think could benefit from listening to these kind of interviews, shoot them our information. You can obviously subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, any podcast directory out there, you can find us. Also, send us your questions. Once a month, Carrie McCormick and I do a show where we interview, or rather, she talks about what's going on in the market and answers your questions. And we're also going to be instituting a new regular episode in the next year, where we're going to be doing an investment episode once a month. So send us your questions, whether you want to hear from a top producer like Carrie McCormick or a top investment producer. Eric Workman is going to be our regular guest on that show. Send us your questions and we will answer them live on the show. The easiest way to do that, you can visit our website, keepingitrealpod.com, or visit us on Facebook, Keeping It Real Pod. And the other thing that's really exciting, and I promise I'll wrap this up in just a moment and get to our great interview with Robin Hansen, is that we have our very first sponsor on this episode. So you'll be hearing a short commercial in a moment right before we get to Robin. And if you are someone who would like to advertise on the show and get in front of thousands of brokers any particular episode, you can do that. So reach out to us and we will give you that information. So thank you so much. This has been a really exciting 2017. We have a few more episodes before we finish out the year, and we'll go strong in 2018. And also, lastly, if you have anybody that you think we should be talking to, any really successful brokers out there who maybe we don't know about or we haven't reached out to, shoot us that information. We get a lot of our interviews from you guys who give us those suggestions. So thanks so much. Really appreciate it. And on to our interview. This episode of Keeping It Real is brought to you by Loftus Law. I'm sorry, the attorney is busy with something more important is something you will never hear when you call Patrick Loftus of Loftus Law. Loftus Law is a firm focused on serving real estate professionals and their clients. You want your deals to close on time without headaches, and Loftus Law is the solution. For more information on what Loftus Law can do for you and your clients and special pricing of $299 per closing, call 773-632-8330 or email patrick@loftus-law.com. Today on the show, we have Robin Phelps Hansen. And Robin is a Chicagoland native and a broker with At Properties. She is the founder of the Phelps Hansen Group, a top producing real estate team. Robin has found her niche within the luxury single family market as of late, but equally enjoys working with first-time condo buyers and sellers, as well as investors. Robin lives in the North Center area with her husband, their 5-year-old daughter, and 11-year-old dog. Welcome, Robin, to the show.
Thank you so much.
My dog is also nearing that age, mine's a little Chihuahua. What type of dog do you have?
Oh, okay. So ours is actually part Chihuahua and part Rat Terrier. Not unlike yours. And she doesn't have any teeth. She only has a couple of teeth. So we have a lot of challenges in that arena.
I do as well. So mine is 9.5 and she has had 13 teeth pulled. She has all the important teeth are still there as of now, but those will probably be going away at some point. People don't realize that Chihuahuas in particular, they have too many teeth for their little mouth. So
yes,
it's very
common. I didn't realize that either. We're over 20 now extracted.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm quickly catching up with you. Mine is sleeping underneath the desk here at the office while I'm talking. Okay. So, but this isn't about me and my dog. Let's talk about you. How did you get involved in real estate? Tell us your origin story.
Okay. So about 15 years ago, I worked at a tech startup company and, I was there a little bit over a year and then they closed their doors and they gave all of us a severance. I was single, late 20s, and, decided to take that money and take real estate classes. And I was lucky enough to live with my best friend, Heather, who owned a beautiful condo and said, you know, you can actually even use my car while you're starting off with clients. Because I didn't have a car. I took the L downtown to work every day. She had a really nice BMW. So for the first 2 years of my career, I drove around in her BMW and everybody thought that was my car. My clients, other agents, Heather would ask to drive her own car and I would be like, yeah, no, I'm sorry, I need it today. So we kind of, she was very happy when I was able to afford my own car, which was, you know, literally 2 years into the business. So I was rookie of the year the first year at the Habitat company. I literally loved it from day one. Loved everything about it.
That's amazing. And not only getting Rookie of the Year, but just backed up that you have a friend that was willing to give you not her broken down Honda Civic from 1997, but literally her nice BMW and you got to drive it around. I hope you have done at least sent her a nice bottle of wine or something.
I have. And I paid her back for the boot that she got on it for me not paying the tickets. So that was all good. But I ended up joining a team that was doing a lot of condo conversions, you know, vintage buildings that they were gutting and turning into these beautiful condos. And they were very affordable for first-time buyers. So I was lucky enough to join this team. And literally, I was slipping a contract under the team leader's door every weekend. I mean, we were killing it. You know, it was 2005, four, something like that, maybe. And it was just an awesome experience learning how to choose the finishes and negotiate. And we were open both days every weekend. So we were meeting a lot of buyers and I thought that was so valuable. But that was really when I worked for the Habitat company, that was the beginning of learning how to pick up a buyer at an open house, you know, convert them to your own client. We were actually getting a lot of sellers out of these. So it was really an awesome opportunity that I was given from the start to join a team like that. And these guys, they were my mentors and they're still, now they're with At Properties and they're still good friends. So
yeah, it's amazing. And I know that was a bit of a different time back when there was a lot more development and it was kind of a feast or famine, a situation. If you were a broker and you got in with some of those developments, it was amazing. And then the market crashed. And how did you like pivot your business or adjust, you know, well, due to the market?
Yeah. I mean, that was rough. And I feel a connection to all of the brokers that have been in the business through that period because, you know, doing it, if I'm doing a deal with one of them and maybe I haven't done a deal before and we get to talking, it's like, oh gosh, that was such a hard time. I mean, I did a lot of rentals just because, you know, it was a source of income. And a lot of those renters were then converted into buyers later, which of course is our hope. So, you know, it wasn't easy. I think I was lucky enough that my sphere of influence was built up in a way that I had enough people that were still buying and selling. But you know, there were so many foreclosures and so many short sales and it was tough financially and also emotionally because, you know, a client would call me over to speak with them about their home and they're telling you they're underwater, you know, they're about to go through a short sale. The bank is calling and you're trying to be a good advocate for them and give them good advice. And you really don't even know what to say to get them through it. So that was a tough time. It's nice to work with clients. It's nice to be in a market again where people are borrowing money and successfully and, you know, putting 20% down or whatever. And, you know, I'm meeting with clients who I can actually come in and say, wow, you have $150,000 equity. You know, this is going to be fun. So that's a much, you know, happier way to do business.
Yeah, and you've really had a tremendous amount of success recently. I know you're closing the year at a record high, which is awesome.
Yes, thank you. I think so. I've been doing this, like I said, about 15 years. I've been with @properties for 10. I was always, very comfortable around that 7-8 million mark. And then, I was lucky enough for two things. I started working with a builder who gave me a few opportunities that were really, very important that I succeeded, that I did a good job for them. And I did. And they were happy. And we continue to have this relationship, which I'm so grateful for. I think that I took the confidence that I built in these situations with them and, met other sellers and buyers. And I started going into listing presentations feeling like I really believed that I was the best person for the job. I shouldn't say best. There are so many amazing brokers. But I went in maybe feeling better about myself as a broker. And the success just started coming to me. And of course, it was fun and exciting. And I think that you always feel like you could be working harder. No matter how hard you're working, you always feel like you could be working harder. And I still feel that way. And I think that's also what's keeping me going. I'm not, everybody's exhausted in this business, but I'm not finishing the day saying, oh my gosh, I'm done. I'm just kind of going, well, let's see what tomorrow brings. And that has, changing my own mentality, I think has helped. So I'm very grateful.
Yeah. One of the things you mentioned before we started recording, which I think is really very honest and also humbling. And I like it very much when people are able to say, because I know you're closing the year out really, really your high numbers. And you said, I really should have got there a few years before. And can you talk a little bit about, the shift and maybe why you think you could have done it sooner
or what you
wish you would have done?
Yes. Right. I think that I am a very strong believer that social media is our best tool. And I started using Facebook for a lot of, for posting listings and for just kind of posting, hey, everybody, I'm out here if you need me. And me and my partner, Amber, we do a lot of just kind of posts showing who we are and what we're up to. And I've had people come into my open houses that said, oh, it's nice to meet you in person. Your face is following me around the internet, which is because I'm using AdWorks and I'm purposely following them around the internet.
Sure.
And all of these tools that are available to us, they grow and they get better and better every year. But I feel like I'm just now sitting down almost daily and saying, what's available? What's out there? I just attended the National Association of Realtors Conference in McCormick Place. And me and my friend walked around saying, oh my gosh, look at this, look at this. And there are so many awesome tools out there to help, tell the public about you and that you're here and you're ready to help them. And I just really don't think I was taking advantage of those like I should. And that's huge for our business this year.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. There's definitely ways to do it, I think, too, that are more effective than others. I see a lot of realtors maybe only posting, hey, here's my new listing, which I guess is better than doing nothing. But there's right. a lot more ways you can engage the audience.
Yes.
And so it sounds like you're doing a lot of that. And that's really interesting. So we have a lot of people who listen are brokers who maybe they're stuck at their own production level and they wish they could break out of that, whatever ceiling they feel is sort of is there, or maybe they're new to the business, not sure what to do. And I know you have a very specific sort of thoughts about working with friends and family. And could you share some of what you wish you would have known dealing with friends and family?
Oh, definitely. So, I mean, your friends and your family are going to be your best referral source. Yes. And I was very fortunate to start at, I think I was 27 or 28, and some of my friends had just gotten like the good job, they had started entry level out of college and they were starting to get the better jobs and saying, oh, I don't want to rent anymore. And I mean, I think I sold 8 condos in the first 2 months to people that were good friends of mine. as my business has grown, and quite frankly, the dollars amounts have gone up. I've noticed that, you know, working with your friends is difficult sometimes because, you know, they're expecting maybe a little bit more from you than they would from another agent. And maybe you're, and I'm expecting more from them, you know, give me the benefit of the doubt. Yes, yes, I'm doing that. Of course I'm doing that. And I have to stop and think, you know, they don't know what I'm doing. I need to tell them. I need to tell them every week what I'm doing to sell their house. Just like I'm telling Mr. Jones with the listing down the street, you know? So I think that I have to stop even now and say, okay, you know, they are equally as important, and nothing that I do for another client, you know, I should be doing everything the same for them. And, you know, if you just do that and you can hang out on the weekends and be social and not talk about work, but when it comes to selling a home for a good friend or family, it's just, I just kind of, you know, proceed like any other client. And I wish that somebody would have told me that it was going to be hard. Cause you know, I think when I first started, I thought this is going to be great. I'm going to work with all my friends, and I continue to be very, very grateful to be able to do that. But it's, I often have to take a deep breath because you'll want to almost be offended if they're asking you, what are you doing to sell my house? So-and-so sold this. And you just want to say, come on, it's me. You don't trust me, but you can't do that because it's professional and you have to stay professional.
Yeah. I just, you know, you said something really, really important in there as well that, or that I thought was a real good takeaway for anyone listening who's got clients who are trying to sell a home or you're trying to sell their home, which is let them know every single week what you're doing, regardless of what happens.
You know, my goal every week is to email them or to call them before they call me. And I feel like if they're calling me and checking in, then I've failed in that category because I want to give them the information that I know that they, you know, have the right to get before they come to me and say, how was Saturday? And I overdo it. I mean, I shouldn't say overdo it, but when I do a listing presentation, I tell the seller, you know, we're going to be so close that when this is over, you know, you're going to really miss me and we're going to have to get coffee twice a week because I'm going to give you a lot of feedback every time I have a showing. And I like to do that. I like to report back almost immediately. I probably send 500 text messages a day. So, and they never have to wonder what's going on because they always know.
I'd say that is an amazing customer service policy. And I know when I bought my condo, which was like 2006, and I was in technology doing marketing for a technology firm, I knew nothing about real estate. I still really don't know too much even today. But back then I literally knew nothing. And my friend, who was my broker, who is still my friend, he had a policy that I asked him after the fact. He said I never wanted a client to have to call me first. Mm-hmm. And I always thought what a great policy.
Yes.
It sounds like you have that same policy. So
for sure.
I was laughing earlier because when we asked you some questions, which we do to everyone that we talk to, we try to get a sense of what they're all about so we can bring it up on the show. this one is amazing. Can you please tell us about the sculpture story?
Oh yes, absolutely. So this was maybe 10 years ago. I did a listing presentation for a family that was selling a home on the north side. And as she was giving me a tour, my eyes kept going to a certain part of the house, this bright white thing, and I didn't know what it was. And then she kind of walked me in and said, you know, my family made this. I know it's a little odd, but, you know, we made this together. And it was a sculpture that was, I mean, gosh, the size of a lion. I mean, we're talking huge, and it was made entirely of feminine sanitary products.
Tampons specifically.
Tampons specific. You said it.
Not pads. These are tampons.
Yes. And, you know, it was, you really couldn't help but stare at it. And I said to her, this is, you know, don't get me wrong. This is just,
this is beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I love it, frankly. No, I mean, I just, you know, but however, you know, and it just couldn't be moved. It was on this big stand. And so I said, okay, well, I'm not going to photograph it, but it'll be here. So every showing I had.
Let's push it out into the closet.
Right. So, and I thought about hanging Christmas lights on it, or just, you know, I thought maybe we should play this up because it's obviously not going to be missed at a showing. So anyway, everybody who came through this house would say to me like, oh, do you mind if I take a couple pictures of the, you know, the crown molding? But I knew what they were taking pictures of right. to show their friends. So, yeah, I definitely never had that one happen to me again, or, you know.
Were they artists or just?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. They were okay. artists. So, and I'm sure at the studio there were other things, but this was the one that they chose to bring home.
and chose, were they surprised when you said, you know, maybe they, everyone else's sensibilities might.
Yeah. Might you know, they were surprised, just like a seller, if you tell them to take, you know, a nude picture down of some sort of, you know, like painting of them topless or something, which of course has happened also. So
yeah, I guess the same mind that would create that sculpture is not the same mind. Is the same mind that would be like, what do you mean? Why would I have to move this?
Right.
So it's not like, oh yeah, we get it. It's a little odd.
We'll move yes. And in this case, it was a hot market, and it was a really nice listing. And I knew that it was, you know, kind of this, I just kind of had a feeling that we could just make it fun. And the eventual buyers, you know, of course, joked about writing it in the contract and things like that.
Sure, of course.
So luckily we did not, you know, they were able to get to take it with them because I'm sure they still have it to this day.
Well, that's not something you throw in the garbage. That's,
no, I would say no.
It's literally made of things you throw in the garbage. But
no,
it is not.
This is true.
that is amazing.
Yes. I actually have another one too. They
yeah, let's hear it.
I had a very, very old home that I was selling, and in the attic there was just one single rocking chair just sitting there, and it just gave me the creeps. It was a beautiful house.
Like it would start
house.
Rocking on its own.
Every time I went up there, I pictured that.
Yes.
And I never ever told the seller that I was, you know, creeped out by it. I never mentioned it. And, you know, he was a funny guy, and he started to kind of mess with me and move it to different areas of the, you know, attic.
That's great.
And then he would tell me, you know, I haven't been up there in like a year. So it was, and eventually I said, okay, you're going to need to either come clean or, you know, I'm not going up there anymore. So that was good.
That is funny. What advice would you have to brokers who are feeling stuck or stifled or not sure how to take their business to the next level? Has anything come to mind?
Yeah, definitely. I would advise them to get education, to take advantage of what the association has to offer, or, you know, even at their independent brokerage at Properties, they do amazing training. I mean, you can be a 1-year agent or a 30-year and sit in this training and walk out feeling motivated. But, you know, as members of the association, you always have those options. And I mean, I probably call my managing broker or one of my mentors at least twice a week and say, can I run this by you? And you know, I would say to try to have a meal with a new person at least 3 times a week, whether it's a meal or a cup of coffee or something. And even if you sit down and that person proceeds to tell you about their brother who's a realtor, and you know, you think, oh gosh, I wanted to be their realtor. It really doesn't hurt. You might learn something. They might tell you something about a piece of land that their brother is selling in their neighborhood, and you go, wait a minute. My builder was looking for land over there, and then suddenly you're connecting. So,
sure.
You know, it is difficult. We all go through slow times, and the best thing to do is to just get to the office or wherever you feel comfortable working and prospect, and, you know, call people that you trust and say, you know, what do you do when this happens? And everybody's been through it. And, I used to, one of my old managing brokers used to say, when things are slow, go on a trip, and not an exotic trip, but, you know, go to Michigan or Lake Geneva or something for the weekend, and your phone will start ringing. You just need to get your mind off of being slow.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a suggestion for people listening. One of the things that you can do in particular after you close a a transaction with a client, is that's a good excuse, a good reason to take them out to coffee or to a meal, just obviously to thank them for their business. But what you can say, if you really enjoyed working with them, is you can say, hey, you were like the ideal client. I wish I had more clients just like you. Do you have any suggestions for me about how I might get in front of more people just like you?
Yes.
And it's different from saying, hey, do you know anyone else that's looking for to buy or sell, you know, which could be awkward, uncomfortable, or it could be that they just don't know anyone. But when you ask them for their advice on like, gosh, if you were me, how would you get in front of more people like you? People will tell you, they're flattered that you're asking for their opinion, which is different from necessarily just asking for referrals, which you could do too. But I love the idea of just saying, gosh, you know, I'd love to meet more buyers or sellers just like you. And if you had any suggestions of how I could, you know, get in front of more people, that would really be helpful. And you'll be shocked at how, especially if they had a good experience with you, which would be the only reason to do this. Don't, you know, obviously.
Oh, for sure. And to your point, you know, planning a meal after closing is a lot of fun because you can, you know, sit down and have a glass of wine. And I like to get to know people. And if I get any indication that somebody will tell me their deepest secrets, then I usually go for it. I like to really dig in. And I feel like that's a great time to do that, to say, hey, you know, your sister had stopped by that day we were there. So like, you know, were you guys close growing up? And it's just fun because we've closed it. We have some relief and, we can, you know, maybe go over some of the funny things that happened during negotiations because now it's done and everybody knows it's done. And, that's always a great time, exactly like you said, to just kind of say, you know, it was really fun working with you. I wish all my clients were like you, you know. Maybe you know some people.
And I wonder what percentage of buyers or sellers do not get that invitation from their broker after the transaction, even to just have coffee or some sort of, hey, thanks, aside from maybe a gift you might send them. I'll bet you 90-some% of buyers and sellers do not get that invitation. Yeah. So even just doing that alone will separate you from just about everyone else.
Definitely. And it doesn't have to be a big expensive steak. You know, like you said, it can be a latte and you could just say, I just wanted to, you know, say thanks and, you know, have a little time with you. So it goes a long way.
Awesome. Well, Robin, this has been a really fun conversation, and not just because of your growth story. Let's talk about if there are buyers or sellers or investors or renters even who are interested in working with you, what's the best way that someone can reach out to you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. My email is Robin Phelps, all one word, Phelps, like the swimmer, @atproperties.com. And my phone number is 773-469-5423.
Fantastic. Well, Robin, thank you so much for your time and, you know, best of luck with and continued success. By the way, we should mention Robin is a top 1% producer. I forgot to mention that in Chicagoland. So she's killing it, very humbly killing it, but, she is a big deal. She wouldn't say that, but I'll say, anyway, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. This was so fun. I appreciate it.